Log Talk Radio.
Stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Shelfstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. Tonight's show is an open mic show, question and answer, and our special guest host is Barbara Joy Hansen. Before we get started with Barbara Joy and the show, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we'd love for you to do so, and it is tax deductible. We have a single purpose here at NASCA: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Like I said, tonight's show is an open mic show. We'd love to have you call in. The number is 646-595-118. That's 646-595-2118. And we do have several people who have called in. We have Pamela from Louisiana. Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. I hope everybody else is too.
I'm a little bit tired tonight, but that's okay. I'm still actually at work doing the show from my office, but that's okay. It's just a pleasure to be here, and I know it's going to be a fabulous show. We always have really good discussions with Barbara Joy. So, Pamela, thank you for your support, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We also have Mark, who was my co-host and trailer from Louisiana. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing? I'm doing great.
Good. I'm doing okay. I can't complain too much. I live in South Florida. You know, it's starting to get hot here, but it's South Florida, so that's to be expected. But otherwise, it's going well. Thank you for asking. Oh, I bet. I lived in Louisiana. I lived in Louisiana for a while, so I know that well. I could never get used to the central time, though, you know, because I grew up on the eastern, in eastern time. And it took a little getting used to. It got darker earlier there.
Hey, I got someone else coming on. Let me catch them.
Cool beans. All right. We also have Victoria, our ambassador from, I think that's Minnesota. Good evening, Victoria.
Yep.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in and supporting the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Cool. We do have another caller, and Barbara Joy, before we get started, I am going to go back to that caller But I do want to go ahead and read a little bit of your bio. Barbara Joy Hansen is from Milford, Massachusetts. She's a child abuse survivor and violence prevention expert. Her book, Listen to the Cry of the Child, is where she shares her journey. She's an activist, and she can regularly be found carrying the message of prevention, intervention, and recovery on podcasts and as an invited speaker to various groups, like our show. Please find her list of numerous upcoming events. We do have that. I know there are some links here in NASCA. And let's see. She and her husband work in prisons, homeless shelters, domestic violence conferences, and she facilitates a survivor support group called Beauty Out of Ashes. So thank you, Barbara Joy, for all you do. Before we get started, I'm going to go to, looks like we have Doug in Maryland. Good evening, Doug. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting you before, but welcome to the NASCA show. And I really appreciate your participation. Are you just a survivor and just getting started, or are you a veteran that I just hadn't had the pleasure of talking with? What's your story, sir?
I'm a survivor who's recently started coming to the NASCA phone line. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you. We've got ourselves a show. Thank you, Pamela, Mark, our host, Bobby Joy, Victoria, who is an ambassador, and we've got Doug, and I'm Tammy. I'm calling in from Florida. Barbara Joy, I'm going to throw the mic over to you, and if you want to get us started with a theme or something that's on your heart, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Tammy, and I'm so pleased to be on the show again tonight. It's been a pleasure to be on the show for, I think, 3 years, and I am honored to be with all of you tonight, and I hope that I give you hope because we all need it. So to start the show, I'd just like to ask a question before I get into another topic. I want to read one of my magazine articles feature called Shattering the Silence, and it's not that long, but I was wondering, we've talked about triggers on the show before, probably not for a while, but I had a trigger this week, and let me tell you what triggers are, and then I'm going to throw the mic open to people that might have had one. I did have one in the grocery store this week, so let me explain. Triggers can be very intense and crippling. They're like hidden pipe bombs in the minefields of our emotional lives, or like snipers hiding out in the shadow of our subconsciousness. With all of our efforts to heal, live virtuous lives, or forgive those who harmed us, one snide comment, a disrespectful remark, a yell, a glance, a smell, a rejection can ignite fuses on our deeper emotional wounds, perhaps that haven't been healed. Even with the long years of therapy or reading self-help books or having no therapy or journaling, a trigger goes off. The person in front of us turns into the parent who abandoned us, the perpetrator who sexually assaulted us, the partner who cheated on us, the person we lost to a tragedy, or the child that died. Suddenly, the lens through which we see becomes like a movie projector, projecting onto the screen of our present lives the pains and phantoms of our past. So before I throw the mic open, I was kind of surprised that this happened to me in the grocery store this week. I don't know. I love ice cream sauce on our ice cream, fudge and caramel particularly. And I've avoided looking at another kind of ice cream topping, and that's pineapple, until this week. And I was in the grocery store, and I'm telling you, I walked out and came home home and started crying, and I told my husband, I just had a trigger. And he's like, what happened? And I said, well, I was in the ice cream aisle looking at the sauces. I bought butterscotch, and I had the trigger of the pineapple. Well, every time we'd go to my grandfather's house, he was the incest perpetrator on me, my mother, my cousins. My uncle was a perpetrator, and it goes back four generations between my mother, my grandfather, my uncle, my cousins, and me and my mother. Maybe that's five. I don't know. But when I saw the pineapple sauce, it brought the trigger to me that every time we'd go to his house, my grandmother was a wonderful, wonderful person. I could go there, and I blocked it all out for decades, for 38 years. I could go there without it bothering me, but of course he took me out in his car and did things to me and himself, and the trigger was the ice cream sauce, because every time we'd go there, he would give us ice cream. Well, no, we'd go out and get it, just him and me. He singled me out like a fish to a fish hook, and we went out 2 years old until 8 years old, and they always were out of the ice cream, and they put the pineapple sauce on it. Now, I'm sure my grandmother had no clue. She didn't know. He ate it up. It was always gone. But when I came home and I had that trigger, I started crying, and I told my husband about that. And it's like it happens every once in a while. It hasn't happened to me for a long time. And I'm wondering if those of you on the panel may have had recent triggers, or maybe you haven't even dealt with your triggers.
Well, I'll get us started, and then I'll go over to the panel. I've had triggers, and one
is
of the most bizarre triggers that This is Tammy.
Tammy,
yeah. One of the most bizarre triggers that I had was not too long ago, and I had completely forgotten this memory, and I love shrimp. But out of nowhere, I got a trigger from a shrimp tail.
See?
And I've eaten shrimp since. I've eaten shrimp before. I completely forgot about this memory. And most
wow.
of my abuse was physical and mental anguish, physical abuse and mental anguish. And I remember my sister and I, we were at a babysitter's house, and we had flushed some shrimp tails down the toilet. And we were both too scared to say anything. And they assumed it was me and beat me. This wasn't one of my normal abusers, but this was a babysitter. I mean, she beat me hard. And I had forgotten all about that, you know, because
why would
she wasn't
do that
my...
to you, Tammy? Why would she beat you for throwing?
Throwing shrimp tails in the toilet? Yeah, because when we flushed it, it didn't go down. She was just a mean person. Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, my grandmother is the one who abused me mostly, and my stepdad who, you know, tried to molest me, but for whatever reason, you know, I was a target, and it took me by surprise. So I've had triggers.
Like the ice cream sauce did with me, too.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I would like to point out, and I know this is difficult to hear because triggers are hard, and they can be very, very painful. But it's also our mind, you know, is ready to deal with what happened to us. And if we can get through the triggers and get through the pain and the anguish, it can be a huge part of our healing.
Right.
So that's my thoughts.
That's true.
So, yeah. All mics are open. We've got Pamela, Mark, Victoria, and Doug. If somebody wants to join in, just say your name first, unlike I did just a minute ago. So, anybody?
Yeah, this is Pamela.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all were talking about items, like, you know, which is not, I'm not demeaning, you know, that it's an item that did that to you, but I have a person that does that to me, and I'm estranged from that person. I have to stay away from that person, and that person she's a sibling, and she actually, oh my God, if she gets in touch with me, she triggers me so bad. She actually told me the other day the word, the world would be a better place if I wasn't in it, and call me the B word, and just talking about her, I just shake all over.
I'm so sorry.
You know, we were raised in the same house, abused for 14 years by this monster, this man who my mother married. He was a pedophile. He only sexually abused me, but he emotionally, verbally, very much physically, he'd get a thick belt and we'd have bruises on our legs and backsides and backs and, you know, almost every day going to school, I remember seeing the bruises on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, I love my sister so much, you know, and I'd love to have a relationship with her, but that was ruined by him. I can't have a relationship. We have two different personality disorders. And, you know, she turned to alcohol and didn't get any talk therapy or anything like that. She won't take her meds. Of course, alcohol makes the meds not work anyway. And so I just can't have a good relationship with my sister.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
God can heal it. He can, and you know that. I know that. You know that. But it's in his timing. And maybe it won't happen on this earth, but can I just say something to you and encourage you?
Sure.
Pamela, on that subject, you all know, or those of you who have heard me on these shows, that I did not have a good relationship with my youngest son who designed the cover and the illustrations in my book, Listen to the Cry of the Child. And I could not believe it. This week was not only Mother's Day on Sunday, but it was my birthday on Monday. I got the first Mother's Day card and the only one from all three of my sons. They still have to give it to me. They still will be giving one to me. But I got a beautiful Mother's Day card from my youngest son with birds. He knows I love the flower gardens. We have about 25 birdhouses in our backyard. And he's an artist. He drew the rose inside the card with the beautiful, beautiful birds, all different colors on the outside, and said, Happy Mother's Day, Mom, I love you, and Heather, and that's his wife of 4.5 years. He was married before and lived with a girl, and now second marriage. And he said, I love you, and Happy Mother's Day. I have not ever, I don't know, in a long, long, long time, gotten a Mother's Day card. And that same day, I was gardening, and he said, oh, I hope you're having fun out in the garden, because he knows that's my peace and my sanctuary. And I was out with my husband all day on Mother's Day out in the yard. It was beautiful. I came in the house, and the phone's blinking. I thought it was one of our other sons. We have three. And it was my youngest son calling. And I have, like you, Pamela, I have not had any contact with him at all. He did not want me to come over. He, you know, we did come in for a brief visit, and then he came down my husband's throat the following week and said, why'd you bring Mom? And now he's calling me, and I went outside. I put our dinner in the oven because I came in to fix it, and then I went outside with the phone and called him. And it first went to the voicemail, and he called me within seconds. We have had no normal conversation in years, and we had about a half an hour conversation, and it was about my flowers, about the garden, about my granddaughter coming over and helping me clean and wash windows, and it was unbelievably wonderful. And that hasn't happened. I mean, my heart ripped out like yours.
Well, have gone through this with my sister time and time again. As soon as she gets me back in her life, she tries to tear me down.
Right.
She, you know, if people aren't willing to heal from their then you have to stay away.
I agree.
People.
Yeah, I totally agree. You have to separate from toxic people. And I did. And I grieved that loss for a couple of years, and I let it go. And it's been years. Mm-hmm. So, you have to. I agree with you. You're doing the right thing.
So thank you for your listening, everybody, and support.
Right.
Y'all, I'm not here, and I've got y'all, so I'm not worried about it.
Right. Anybody else have thoughts on triggers, or have you had one recently, or maybe you haven't even thought about having triggers?
Yeah, this is Victoria. I actually had a trigger today.
Wow.
I haven't been involved in too many social things, you know, because of COVID and all. And this drop-in center for people with long-term mental health issues had this, it's called Art in the Park. And I was all excited about going and everything, you know. Went out there with my service dog and sat down, and I was getting all excited about listening to the instructions and everything. And this woman goes, I forgot you had a dog. And she just starts going off on me, you know. And I just got up and left, you know.
Mm.
And I was there Tuesday at the drop-in center. And she was there, too, and had made a big fuss about my dog and how she's scared of him and just like, freaking out, you know. And it just reminded me of, first of all, I had to fight to get my service dog in the assisted living I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to the extreme of getting a disability law attorney involved, and they had called me and were screaming at me and to get my dog out of here. I had no right to bring him in here, and blah 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 blah. They would still will not, you know, like, validate it's a service animal. And I ended up finally the attorney. Well, I called the Disability Law Center, and I was just so amazed. Because the next day I got a phone call, and the lady said, I'm your attorney. And I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe it. You know, because like you think, I'll be waiting 3 weeks,
right.
You know. And anyway, she sent them a letter and basically said, you know, but at first I didn't know what I was going to do. And I called my daughter, and she was like, Mom, I can't take them. I got, you know, 5 dogs already, and I had nobody to take them. And I had just gotten him and totally fell in love with it, you know, the moment he got out of the car. And
dogs
I had had him
comforting.
For 5 or 6 days. And anyway, I had had 2 service dogs before, and I ended up going into a nursing home, and they wouldn't let me have them, and I totally freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mourned for 3 to 5 years, you know. And I just finally allowed myself to say, okay, I'm going to get another one. And, you know, and then all this. And then they finally, you know, didn't have a choice. And my daughter intervened, and the attorney intervened and everything. And my son was in town, fortunately, and got him all his shots and everything. And, you know, he said, yeah, Mom. I said, yeah, but he was free. He goes, yeah, free as a free puppy. You know. Because they need
what
their
kind
shots.
Of a dog,
they, you know what,
what
I mean?
Kind of a, can I ask you what kind of a dog?
Yeah. He's a Bichon.
What is that?
It kind of looks like a poodle.
Uh-huh. I love dogs.
But he's like about 15 pounds. He was 10 when I got him. He just turned 1 in November. And then, and I had copied all the paperwork for Americans with Disability Act for living in assisted living. And I told her, I said, I've got the papers upstairs. I don't want to look at your damn papers, you know. Just get that dog out of here. And so I, you know, like I said, then I didn't know what to do. I was suicidal for a month, and I didn't go in because I was afraid that I would lose him, you know. So I toughed it out, and then I brought him back in, and the owner came in and said, "This is my building, and you are not allowed to have that dog here, and if you don't get him out of here, you're getting out of here." And so I wrote to my attorney, and I wrote on the subject line, urgent, you know. And anyway, I just had this big argument with everybody that comes along that, no, it's not emotional support animal, it's a service animal. And people are arguing with me about every little detail and all this stuff, and I'm like so freaking tired of arguing with people, including my family and everybody else. And I even had to bring in the paper documentation to my psychiatrist to even get him in the first place.
Yeah.
And so it's just been this big freaking fight all the time, you know?
You know what I would suggest for you to do? You know what I would suggest, Victoria? I fundraised at Walmart, and I was screamed at 2 weeks ago. I usually sit in the middle of Walmart, but they've changed the rules with COVID.
Yeah.
And I was fine last year sitting by the mailbox where I get people coming and going, but they put me way over in the corner and hardly any people came. I might have sold 5 books, which was good. I got some donations.
Yeah.
Well, this one woman came out and literally screamed at me. So I called the manager today and talked to him, and I said, you know, to have anybody scream at a survivor of violence is, like, wrong.
Yeah.
She's a bully.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, she said she didn't. Well, yeah, right. But anyway, I bless people, and I've had people scream at me, go to the car, and they scream at their spouse or their girlfriend.
Yeah.
What did she say to you? You know, or whatever, because I have my sign up, domestic violence survivor.
Yeah.
So I say, God bless you.
Well, I've said that too. I've said that too, but just today, it just, like you said, it just, you know, I just had to get up and walk away.
Good.
And
good.
Two or three of the staff kept coming over and asking me if I was okay and did I want to do this, that, or the other thing, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm fine. And then I just started walking, and one of the staff came up and said, well, I could go for a walk with you if you want. And I go, no, I just need to go somewhere and meditate, you know.
Yeah, you need to be alone.
But anyway, so I wrote to my attorney again. She sent another certified letter.
Good.
And then I had went down in the main area, you know, and to get where I get my meds in the office and where we get our food and stuff. And they said, you can't bring him down here. And I said, well, he belongs in, or he can be allowed anywhere where, you know, the general public can go or residents. And she goes, oh, you're going to start making the rules around here now? And I go, it's a federal law, you know?
Yes.
And I
know.
Just walk away. I just walk away because I can't, you know,
sometimes
I can't deal with it.
Sometimes you have to walk away in order to be sane and mentally okay.
Just quick, now, the end of October, I was told they weren't going to renew my lease. She said, because if I didn't know you were going to have a dog when you moved in here, I didn't ever let you in the first place. This is the director of the program. And she's been like...
I have to ask you this. I have to stop you right there. You said it was a service dog.
Yes.
Is it a service dog? Because it's illegal. Sorry, my printer's going. If it's a certified legal dog, it's illegal for them to not let you have a pet.
I know. And because
subject,
of the way they treated me, they violated my disability rates. They violated my, what do you call it? You know, human rights, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that I could take them to civil court and sue them.
Oh, wow.
But it recommends that you wait until you move out of the place.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Before you bring any court case against them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want us to move on from this.
You know, I thank
but
you.
But it sounds like
just for letting me.
I don't mean to cut you off. Sounds like you got some legal ramifications.
Yes.
It's illegal for anybody to tell you can't have a service dog. If it's a registered, certified service dog, you can sue the pants off. But thank you for sharing that. You know, before we go on, I wanted to kind of table on what Victoria said. You know, a lot of times we're talking about triggers. You know, service animals and some of our animals can help us get through the triggers that we have.
Absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that, Victoria. I really do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans. Let me give Doug an opportunity to participate if he chooses. Doug, what do you think? Or have you dealt with triggers, or you know, is this something you know that you're struggling with, or that you've gotten through? What are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, it's hard to get over the past. It's just...
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to focus. I mean, what's today? It's May 13th, 2021, and it just...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm stuck in different areas of the past and just...
Right.
Struggling to move forward and I mean, that's
well,
I'm really about them.
Right.
I understand,
I'm glad you're
Mark.
Here with us.
Mark,
no,
this
is
Bobby
Doug.
Joy.
That's Doug.
And
this
I totally get it because I was stuck for 38 years. And, you know, you just have to not allow, like Victoria just said, don't allow others to be in control of your emotions. Start saying something or treating you a certain way, put up like a great big stop sign and in your head say, I will not allow anyone outside myself to control my emotions. I will not allow anyone to control my psychological thinking because your thoughts are your thoughts. Say to yourself, I'm an overcomer. I am not a victim. I'm a victor.
Mm-hmm.
Say it,
well, thank
you know,
you for that.
Quietly to yourself.
Right. Well, thank you for that advice for Doug. You know, I wanted to tell Doug as well, I'm not sure where you are, but you can get through it, and I'm so glad that you're here with us in the NASCA
mm-hmm.
family. That's what we do is we support each other. You've got to understand that we know how you feel. We know the emotions it has. I don't know if you've ever gotten validation in your life. I never got validation from my grandmother, and she's dead. I will never get that validation. I had to give that validation to myself. You didn't deserve Tammy Shaw style. You didn't deserve what was given to you. She had no right to put her hands on you. She had no right to say the things she said. I'll never hear that from her. But I had to get my own validation. And I'm not sure what you're dealing with, Doug. You know, what kind of abuse that you have, whether it's sexual, physical, emotional neglect, or all of the above. We've had people who have had all of the above. I've endured everything but neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the pain, and I understand the questions. You know, and I've told this on the show several. Sure, I've told this on the show several times. You know, when my grandmother died, I was in Louisiana. Actually, I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I was driving back. I was in the process of driving back to get my stuff. Was at the time I was moving from Louisiana. And the whole way back, I cried.
Mm.
Not for my grandmother. I have yet to shed a tear over my grandmother's death. I was so angry and so mad because I knew that I would never get the validation and the apology from that woman that I deserved.
Right.
But I've had to move past it. I'm a firm believer. I don't have to give anybody forgiveness. I mean, I get the and this is debatable, but my personal thoughts, I don't have to forgive the person who hurt me. I can have peace with it, and I can understand that she is going to have to answer for what she did. Not me.
Right.
I just, you know, that's her bag of balls, not mine. And that's the way I deal with it. So Doug, just know that it can get better. And sometimes, you know, it's like a sliding scale. I'll take two steps forward, you know, three steps forward, and you know, two steps back.
Right.
But I still have one step ahead. So don't give up the faith, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else, Doug?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Oh, okay. How about Mark?
This
we haven't
is
heard
Victoria.
From Mark.
I
Let
just want to welcome
Mark
Doug.
Okay,
all I want
cool
to do is
beans.
Welcome Doug. That's it. Yeah.
Cool beans. Cool beans. Thank you.
You bet. Okay.
All right. Before we go, I want to give Mark an opportunity to participate. And Mark is, you know, he supports Pam, whether he has dealt with triggers himself or he has had to help Pamela with her triggers. He is, you know, he knows what we're talking about. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'd have to piggyback on what Pam said. It, that kind of stuff triggers me. And, you know, when I first saw it on her phone, because she was texting and stuff, and I saw the first message, I'm like, oh, man, here we go. And then bam, 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 bam. It was like 7-8 messages right after. Just pure evil. I mean, just, you know, I won't even say, but this isn't the first time. It goes on every, there's like cycles. I mean, she's either on Facebook putting Pam down or whatever, and it's just toxic. Now, I'm married to Pam for 38 years, so guess what? I know this toxic sister for 38 years. So mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you got to deal with it. And, you know, I try to reach me and Pam, talk about it. And what I told her this time, don't do nothing. Don't say nothing. Because mm-hmm. if she doesn't get a response, then she, like Pam knows about narcissism, if she doesn't get a response, she has no fuel. So then she gives up. So that's what happens. She just quits. But that initial text, it sends you off. You know, you're like, man. Well, you know, and I know, Miss Bobby Joe, that we've given it to the Lord. We pray for her. We know that God can turn things around in a heartbeat. But right now, for the last years, it's this kind of behavior. And Pam and I try to stay away from this toxic lady. So, but
well,
I'm
glad that she has your support, because that is so important.
And that's the thing. We stand together. So when this kind of stuff happens, we bounce it off each other, and you know, this time we got through it. But it's just, you know, it triggers you when you hear someone bad-mouthing your wife, and that woman happens to be her sister. You know, you would think different, but I know in abusive families, everybody has issues, and
mm-hmm.
so we leave it in God's hands, and we pray for her, and we know that one day she might completely be healed and whatever, but for the time being, we stay away.
Good. Good, you're doing the right thing.
Well, at this point, before I go back to Bobby Joy, I wanted to see if anyone had something that they wanted to share in reference to triggers that they didn't get out, or a comment on what somebody else has made, and then we'll go back to Bobby Joy and give Bobby Joy a chance to make some comments on what she heard or bring up another subject. Anybody? Anybody have anything they want to add that they didn't
get
a chance?
Yeah, this is Victoria. I know I talked a lot already, but I just want to say that I really didn't, like, move on or be able to get unstuck until I allowed myself to mourn for the childhood that I never had and the one that I really deserved, you know. And that finally, you know, because I'd go to a psychologist. I went to a psychologist about 5 times, told her these horrific stories and said, it could have been worse, it could have been worse, it could have been worse. And then on the 5th time, she said, stop a minute. And I go, what? She goes, did anybody tell you it could have been better? You could have been wanted, loved, nurtured, you know, taken care of. And I mean, I must have cried for 6 months because nobody had ever told me that, you know. But I just wanted to put that in there that I needed to mourn. And
yes.
That helped me a lot for getting unstuck, you know. And that
absolutely.
We all have our own journey and we all have our own process, and there's no time limit on anything, and there's, you know, no, like, I'm healed or, you know, you gotta do a certain thing by a certain amount of time or a certain way. So I just want to let everybody know that. That's my thought.
There you go. That does us some very good thoughts.
You know, we don't measure each other's or compare each other's abuse. If anybody was sexually abused once, then they were abused, and they didn't deserve that. If anyone's beaten once, they were abused, and they didn't deserve that. You know, that's why we don't want to compare, you know, like you said, Victoria, it could have been worse. Well, you know, that's the hand, unfortunately, that we're dealt with, and we can't go back and change the past. All we can do is, you know, learn to cope with it, heal from it, help each other, inspire other folks, people who have it, you know, that may be at the beginning of their journey who are struggling, like our new friend Doug, you know, that says, you know, it's just hard every day. You know, it overwhelms us. And I know that when I first started on my healing journey, you know, I got verbal diarrhea over it. You know, I wanted to tell everybody and tell everybody, blah, 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 blah. You know, I've learned, you know, when to talk about it, how to talk about it, when to shut up about it. And, you know, I don't hide from it. I'm not ashamed of it. I will tell anyone. But I also have learned not to, you know, force it upon people, force my story upon people. And that's not easy to do, especially at the beginning, because we want the world to know. We want to shout it from the mountaintops, and we deserve to. But, you know, through time I've learned, you know, I can tell my story. I'll never forget this. I called Bill crying. I was living in a hotel, just moved to Miami, and I went to dinner with a couple of girls, and one of them had shared that she was a victim, you know, of sexual abuse. And the other friend was there, and she, you know, she shared a story, and I just went with it, and I overwhelmed them. And finally the girl got up and went to the bathroom, and the other girl said, "What are you doing? You know, stop." And it took me by surprise. I said, "Well, she brought it up." She said, "But couldn't you tell that she, you know, that couldn't you see her eyes glossing over? Couldn't you see she was ready to get off of it?" And it broke my heart. And then I realized that, you know, that I went too far too much. You know, now if I had to do over sitting at that same table, you know, I look for the signs. You know, they, you know, I'm NASCA. NASCA's wonderful because I'll say, "Well, yeah, I'm, you know, I do a radio show for NASCA." "Well, what's NASCA?" "Well, that's the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse." And then they come to me, you know, and then, "Well, I've got this story." And I've learned, you know, when they're, you know, they've shared and I share, you know, when it's appropriate, and then I shut up, you know, and then they'll come back. So it's, you know, I've learned through the process. It's not an easy thing to do. So with that said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to throw the mic back to Barbara Joy and give Barbara Joy an opportunity to talk about anything she's heard. You know, if she wants to elaborate on what anyone shared or come up with a different subject. Barbara Joy, the mic is yours.
Totally agree with you as far as, I never heard the term verbal diarrhea, but I love it because that's exactly what I did. I told anybody and everybody everything. And like you said, no, but they don't want, you know, especially somebody that hasn't gone through it. And I've so learned, I mean, you don't want to isolate and not tell, you know, which I did too. I stayed in my room, I stayed in the house and all that. But I just want to give hope to Doug because, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show because that takes courage to pick up the phone and dial this kind of a show, not knowing exactly what it is or what's going to be discussed. And I sure hope that when the show is finished, you know, that you know that we're here for you and we will be there for you. And you can call me. I'll give you my phone number. It's 508-473-1280. And I will be happy to talk to you. I'm a life coach. I'm a co-host of, you know, other shows as well. You know, I've been through it, but healing doesn't come overnight at all. You figure how long ago this might have happened to you, or many things might have happened to you, Doug. And healing is going to take time. So just remember that healing does not come overnight. It takes years. Sometimes it takes decades, like it did with me. And the devastating effects of sexual abuse particularly produces guilt, shame, anxiety, fear, sadness, anger, and an inability to trust. I still have a hard time trusting, especially men, because I've been hurt by men. And it creates symptoms of isolation, withdrawal, depression, insomnia sometimes, nail biting. As a child, you might have wet your bed and then gotten in trouble. I know an ex-convict was put on a toilet because he wet the bed, and he was made to sleep on a toilet. And that's horrible to even think about. But these kind of things happen in our families, and you have memory blocks, panic attacks, severe PTSD I had, which is traumatic amnesia. So if you suffer with PTSD, all of you on the panel, you know that it shuts you down with nightmares and an emptiness where you feel completely all alone. But you're not alone, Doug, and I want you to know that you can call me, you can order my book from the phone number I just gave you if you want to, because I have a lot of awareness and answers in it. But any abuse of any kind is a mental and an emotional death. And was it Victoria that said we need to grieve? Because that's the part I skipped. I did not grieve until I faced the clergy with a sex abuse case. And then I started writing and writing, and I couldn't stop. And I wrote my book in a week. And it just poured and poured and poured and poured out of me like throwing up, like vomit. So every single one of us craves restoration and intimacy, letting the walls down. And in your families, you've been told, like all of the panel, don't tell, don't feel, don't share, don't be you, don't trust, don't get close, don't come out of hiding, don't let anybody know who you are. But you know who you are. You know what you've gone through. It wasn't your fault. You need to know that there's hope. So we all have gone through it. Maybe not the same way you did, but we've all gone through, you know, similar things as you have. So I just hope you keep calling in the show. And I'm on the second Thursday of the month, of every month. So that being said, I just would like to read a very short feature article called Shattering the Silence. And it was written in 2007 in a magazine. Reaching past the psychologist, I handed the elderly youth pastor a picture of a tall, skinny 11-year-old girl with a very sad face. I was that little girl. Here's a picture of the child you molested. I want you to remember this little girl as I speak to you. At this discipline hearing, I was supported by 8 pastors from my childhood denomination. I spoke softly, recalling what he had done to me at the Bible camp, youth camp. I asked him, "Who hurt you so bad that you had to hurt me?" Statistics are astounding. Pedophiles molest an average of 120 to 350 children per perpetrator before getting caught. That statistic is in Sports Illustrated 1999, Coaches Abusing the Children They Coach. 1 out of 3 girls and 1 out of 5 boys are sexually abused. A child is molested every 2 minutes. Inside every sex offender is a much wounded child who may also have been violated. Nearly 80% of all sexual abuse is incest. Offenders are rarely strangers. As the daughter of a pastor, my daddy led me to faith in Christ at the age of 5. Both my parents instilled in me the practice of loving the Lord with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. But as a very young child, I endured incest by my grandfather's hands. He violated my cousins as well. When I finally had the courage to tell my parents about the youth pastor's sin, the generational curse was broken. My mother confided in me that she was also violated by my grandfather, though he was a church elder. The stress and trauma of these experiences plunged me into deep, deep depression and denial. As a child, I had frightening nightmares. School was difficult because of memory blocks. And at the age of 16, I needed hormone shots to begin my menstrual cycle. After marrying, I had difficulty conceiving a child, so my husband and I adopted our firstborn. I often felt totally alone and wanted to run away from everything. I realized I was trying to run from myself and from the demons from my past. When I chose to forgive the pastor, I was able to release those years of pain. God will be his judge and jury. At that moment, I realized forgiveness does not erase our past. The memories will remain. But in letting the ember of hatred go from my heart, I was now free to grieve all my losses and be empowered to live. Just 7 weeks after our meeting, this former youth pastor, elderly pastor, fell down the stairs and broke his back and died, a broken man all alone. I opened up my Bible to Job 24:19-20. As heat and drought snatch away the melted snow, so the grave snatches away those who have sinned. The womb forgets them. The worm feasts on them. Evil men are no longer remembered, but are broken like a tree. Comforted, God gave me Psalm 10:14-18. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness or her wickedness. That would not be found out. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage us and you listen to our cries, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man or woman who is of this earth may terrify no more. My marriage that was broken has been restored, and my husband and I just celebrated 56 years of marriage, May 1st. God is using us to give back with the mission that we're on to free others from the prison they are in. Many of our churches need comforting and an awakening and much awareness. Only 8% of clergy know how to help us. My husband and my best friend help others. We speak freely whenever God opens doors, like on NASCA. And for the past several years, I have facilitated my Beauty Out of Ashes support group for survivors of child sexual abuse and domestic violence. Support in a safe place is essential for people who have endured such trauma. We need to cry with each other, believe in each other, help unmask our pain. It is in the telling that the secrets no longer hold power over us.
That's pretty amazing. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we have, you know, like I said, we support all abuses. You know, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the neglect, and sexual abuse. You know, for anyone who may be listening, any of the new people on the panel or anyone who may be streaming in, perhaps for the first time, sexual abuse is not the child's fault. It's not my fault. It's not Barbara Joy's fault. It's not Pamela's fault. I don't know what Doug's struggling with, and, you know, unless he shares it, I don't need to know. It's not your fault, Doug. It's anyone who may be listening, it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. It is 100% the adult's responsibility. There is nothing a child could do to prompt that. I will never forget this one lady who had come on the show. She was amazing. I've listened to so many. I don't remember her name, but she was in the foster care, sexually abused, and she finally made it to a good foster care, and they ended up adopting her. And she equated sex with love. And she said, you know, she said to herself, as a child, now this is an adult talking, you know, through a child's eyes. You know, a lot of times, especially when we get on our healing path, we beat ourselves up because we said, I should have known. But no, you were a child. You didn't have the education you have now, so
no.
Give yourself a break. But, you know, as an adult, she's telling her story, and she said that, you know, as a child, she was thinking, what's wrong with me? He doesn't love me. He hasn't touched me. And she said one time she literally got in front of him, took her panties off, threw her legs up in the air, and basically put it in his face. And he didn't say a word. She said that he just pretended she didn't do it, started talking like he was, like it was plain, you know, and helped her put on her panties while he was talking about something else, some random conversation. And she was confused. And you know, I think he waited a period of time and told her, you know, I love you no matter what. You don't need to do that. I love you. That's not, you know, what I'm looking for. And I thought that was such an amazing story for her, you know, to share, because a lot of times we do equate that with love.
That's right.
And
you know,
we have, you know, I've been exposed to, and I know other people on this panel have too, you know, where men sexually abuse women, women
right.
sexually abuse boys, men sexually abuse boys. None of it is anybody's fault. It doesn't matter. You know, our founder, who was a heterosexual, was abused by men in the congregation, you know, and, you know, I don't want to speak for Bill, but, you know, he told us, you know, if I was going to be gay, I'd be gay. I just so happened to, I was abused by men, but I like women, you know, I've dealt with people who did turn gay, and that's okay. That's their choice. It's not for me to judge. But the point I'm trying to make is, regardless of what type sexual abuse one endured, it is never, ever the child's fault, ever. So that's what I wanted to share. Cool. Let's open up to the panel. We've got Pamela, Mark, Victoria, and Doug. All mics are open, so if anyone wants to jump in, just say your name first and go for it. Anyone?
This is Pamela. Yeah, this is Pamela. I would like to talk about recovery. And the first thing I'd like to do is ask everybody on the panel what their definition of recovery from child abuse is as an adult. What is your definition of it? And I'll go first. My definition is, you know, going through what I went through and finding the path and the steps and the strategies to heal and to, you know, be able to, you know, live a full quality of life after child abuse that happened in my life. So the first thing I talk about is my health, you know, trying to keep my health, physical health and my emotional health. And then, of course, have a stable home and a safe place to live, because I didn't have a stable home and a safe place to live when I was a child. And find my purpose, being able to do daily activities and hold a job or school or volunteer, like with NASCA. You know, I mean, NASCA, I found, is the perfect place that I've landed. And it has so helped me in my recovery, you know.
Right.
And so, and also relationships and social networks that provide support, friendship, love, and hope, you know?
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And that's a really good question. And I'll give my two cents, and then we'll go to the rest of the panel and then go to Barbara Joy so she can comment on what we've shared, if you don't mind, Barbara Joy. My definition of recovery is learning to love myself. Learning to have the self-esteem that I deserve, learning to have the boundaries that I need, learning that I matter. Just simple, I matter. You know, my opinion matters. Me being in this world matters. I deserve to love myself. I deserve love from other people. I deserve to be, you know, confident. You know, and with my abuse, you know, being told you're dumb, you're stupid, you're worthless, this world would be better off had you never been born, beaten and put down.
you know, that's what that those are things that were robbed from me, and those are things that I have taken back proudly. Learning to love ourselves is one of the hardest things in the world, especially for it's hard for normal people, but we call them normies, but it's hard for survivors especially. You know, whether it is the guilt, you know, because especially if it's sexual abuse, you know, there's so many different types of sexual abuse where you're my special pet, you're special, so that's why we can have this relationship, you know. And then there's the beating and the rape, and then there's the, you know, and then there's the put down, you know, you're worthless, you know, this is all you're good for, you know. And then, you know, then there's, well, you leaned into it, you wanted it, you asked for it, it's your fault. No, it's not. And then, you know, whether we lose the love for ourselves out of guilt or out of being told we're worthless, whatever the case is, I take that back. I take my power back. I take my love back. I take my self-esteem back from those people who robbed it from me. That's my thought.
Mm.
Awesome. I like that.
Mm.
Cool. What about you, Victoria?
Well, Victoria? First of all, the word recovered or recovery from child abuse, I don't think I'll be recovered till I take my last breath, because I'm in constant change, you know. And as far as the statement that sexual abuse, especially sexual abuse, is bad, it's all bad. And for me, it was accepting myself just where I am. You know, tomorrow might be a really bad day, but that's okay. You know, I look back from where I came from. I started therapy when I was 21, when I first escaped from my father. And I had went one time later on into a psychiatric ward, suicidal. And the person that was supposed to be admitting me, the psychiatrist, said, you know, because my dad kept coming after me, and I ended up developing multiple personality disorder, which is now known as dissociative identity disorder. And she plain flat out said, well, you must have enjoyed it or you wouldn't have kept going back so often.
Mm.
And so, you know, compounded with all that shame. And then, like, you know, he tortured me and everything. But I think for me, it was organizing. I've been organizing since I was 26. I've been speaking out. And back then, I would go to sexual assault conferences and Better Women conferences and things like that. And it was basically just professionals telling you what victims thought, you know. And so I ended up getting involved in an organization called Women Whisper, which was Women Hurt and Systems of Prostitution Engaged in Revolt. So we, like, kind of had an opinion. And we would go out and, you know, tell our stories. And also with the Battered Woman Shelter, I started doing the same thing at conferences, you know. And currently I have a grassroots organization, and I'm doing what's called the Clothesline Project. And I wanted to try to get it done in April, but I couldn't get it going. And what it basically is people are sending me clothing with maybe about the age that they were, you know, because a lot of us were, you know, traumatically abused throughout our lives. So there's no, you know, this age or that age, you know, and they call it complex PTSD if it was more than one time.
Victoria, do you consider this part of your recovery process?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you tell us how that is bringing recovery to you? How's it bringing recovery?
She's giving back. She's giving back. That's Bobby Joy speaking. She's going to conference.
Well, the thing is that when I first started getting help, people weren't talking about it. People weren't speaking out about child abuse, sexual abuse, battering, none of that stuff. So, you know, I try to give people the opportunities that maybe I didn't have that would have been more healing for me. And so what I'm doing, I'm calling it a silent speak out, because I'll be hanging these clothes of either what people writing on what happened to them, how they felt at the time, or how they feel about it now in a park. And I'll be getting contacting the media and all kinds of stuff to come out there. And for me, it's healing, because, you know, once I started speaking out, I met Bill 11 years ago, you know, and I never really talked about the incest from my father, because my biological father, I call him my sperm donor, but I never talked about it because when I got away from him, I was an adult. And when I had told some people, they were like, well, you were an adult. Why did you, you know, why did you let him do that? You should have known better, and you should have, you know, been able to get away from him. And why don't you go to the police and all this kind of stuff, you know? So, of course, I still blame myself, you know? And I don't want nobody to feel that shame anymore. And I want people, because of some of the stuff he did to me, people are like, oh, I can't believe that happened, or there's no way that could happen, you know? And I just want to be there for other survivors, to give them some of the stuff I didn't have and some of the things that I did get that helped me. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, so I think it's showing that you have a purpose, that you're making meaningful activities and giving back to the community to support people and giving them hope, you know?
Yeah, and losing that shame, you know? Right. You know, in Al-Anon, in one of the readings, it says we're only as sick as the secrets we keep.
Right.
And and when I first read that, I went, oh, my God, I'm sicker than shit, you know, excuse my friend, you know. Because I didn't think I could tell anybody.
Before we go on, I'd like to make a comment. You know, shame on that. That's why it's so important if somebody goes to professional help to find someone that is trauma trained. How dare that woman say that to you?
Yeah.
I just want to go find him and beat the hell out of him.
I was already suicidal.
A trauma trained person said what?
Yeah.
You said a trauma trained person said what? This Pamela.
No, you need to find a trauma trained person because I mean I've heard this a lot where survivors go to, you know, a psychiatrist that is not trauma trained and say something bonehead like, well, you kept going back, or, you know, you were part of it, you know, you were asking for it. How dare anyone say that to you, ever?
Well, Tammy, the problem, this is Pamela, the problem is, being a social worker myself, the problem is we're just now coming into the 21st century with social workers and LPCs, licensed professional counselors, that understand that they need to know and be trained about what children go through. As you know, they can't just see a child that's been mistreated and think that they have the right strategies or therapy for them, you know.
Right.
One of the
I was suicidal and trying to get into the psych ward, and when she said that to me, I was ready to leave and not go in the psych ward. And at that time, that was over 20 years ago.
One of the social work code of ethics, and I think it's for all counselors, is to be competently trained and only work with people that you're competently trained to work with, okay? But we do know that some of these counselors and professionals only want the money, so they don't care about
people. That's right.
It's just like some doctors, you know, they want money. They'll make you have 50 tests just so they can get the money out of it. I mean, you have to find the right person.
Right. Well, I'm sorry that she said that to you, Victoria. She had no right, and it just makes me mad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember.
And like
Laura,
I said, I almost left and just killed myself, you know, after that.
Yeah, and she'd be responsible.
Because I wanted to get in the hospital, and I figured if she had that opinion, then the people inside are going to have that opinion, too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we've heard, Yeah, one of the things that we heard, we hear a lot on this show is, well, I went to a psychiatrist and I've been going to her, you know, she's not, it's not helping, he or she is not helping me. Well, how long have you been going? Well, I've been going to this person for 10 years. Well, no, no. If they're not the right person, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that woman did more harm than good. And as you can tell, it just makes me mad.
Can I make a comment?
I didn't have a choice because that was the only person that was admitting people. You know?
Of course, Bobby Joy, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, with you just saying that, Victoria, when I was going to face the clergy in the sex abuse case, my sister-in-law is a therapist. My brother is married to her, and my brother and I are best friends. My brother understands me much, much more than my sister-in-law does. But you know what my sister-in-law told me when I was going to go forward with this sex abuse case, and they flew me to Florida from Massachusetts to face him? Oh, you're going to take his retirement away. Are you kidding me? It's like what you were told.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a therapist. But unless you walked in my shoes through the shit, you don't understand me. She can have book knowledge. She always thinks she's better than I am. So I avoid her. I mean, once in a while I might talk to her, send her a card and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, she doesn't. She's got the book knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
not the heart
knowledge. It sounds like she doesn't like you. It sounds like to me she doesn't like you on a personal level. I don't think it's anything about
she probably doesn't. I am the expert. She thinks she is, but because I've walked through all kinds of trauma, not just incest, but, you know, and the clergy sex abuse, but marriage betrayals, all kinds of things, pornography and all kinds of things I've gone through. And now I am... I don't consider myself the expert because of what I've gone through, but I have had deliverance from incest, infertility, postpartum depression, clergy sex abuse, you know, suicide on my husband's, with my husband's father, so I had to help him understand the cause of his anger towards me, verbal abuse, and the adoption of our son. I mean, we've been through it. And we're still married.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me how, except by the grace of God. When I and I recovered very, very painfully, slowly, with all the effects that I've gone through with complex PTSD, I started, like you did, Victoria, I started going to conferences. I started going to prison conferences and then domestic violence conferences and flew to San Diego, California, and I could not believe that I got the award out of 1,500 people for the mask. I have a Who Am I victim, How Do I See Myself, and there's a picture of me holding my teddy bear with a tear down my face, which is the cover of my book in the middle. And it was a huge black and white and red poster. So on the mask on the left, it says, Who Am I Victim, How Do I See Myself. I saw myself when I walked into the conference, I wasn't healed. And when I went to all these other conferences, I wasn't anywhere healed. When I wrote my book, I wasn't healed. But I got it out, and then I started speaking about it and having a God-given purpose and passion to help others. But on the left side of this big, huge poster presentation that I got approved to go, they called my name and had me come up on stage, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm getting an award. I didn't see myself that way. I saw myself as victim. Shame, blame, enables, condemned, controlled, damage, pain, panic, loss, helping, helpless, walking, wounded, rescuer, underdog, outcast, bad, despair, hostage, soul damage, shackled, blackness, dungeon, guilt, chains, fear, shattered, broken, scream, silent, cocoon, no identity, and fear. Now, on the right side, I do this in my support group that I teach, and I am not teaching it right now. I'm going on so many shows. I had 5 shows in 1 week. I'm getting heard. My voice is all over the world. I got a call from Australia this week from a man that met me on LinkedIn, and he's been following me, and he said, you've helped me tremendously. And I said, this is costing you a fortune to call me. And he said, no, I have international calling, so I didn't feel so bad for him. But So on the right side, it says, "Who am I? Survivor. How do others? How do others see me?" So people see me now as a butterfly with wings, a purpose, soul healed. So how I recovered was going to these conferences and going to workshops and you know, gathering and learning and understanding. Some workshops were so boring, I walked out of them. Professors that I had no clue what they were talking about. And the church did not understand me at all. I have blown the whistle on three churches. I mean, the camp and two churches. And so I had to find hope and answers on my own. I prayed for 2.5 years for God to put this support group into my hands that I teach and that I provide in prisons all over.
Your book mostly is to pastors. On the back, it was like all the pastors that reviewed your book. A lot of it was to pastors.
Well, they reviewed it. They gave me they read my manuscript and then they wrote on it. One was from a radio show pastor and a couple of others, but that was just the back of my book. All through my book is recovery and hope and answers and awareness. And
mm-hmm.
Have you read the whole thing?
I've read the whole thing. But
yeah,
mostly
cool.
I see that it's for Christians, though. It's mostly for Christians. I don't
know. No, it isn't. I disagree with you. I have had secular people read my book and say, you are not a Bible thumper. You give answers and awareness that I've never had in my life. And I weave my story with a scripture verse, but I put my finger on the lust that happened in our marriage,
mm-hmm.
the lust that happened with my rape. And yet
right.
I give the answers. So it's not a book just for Christians whatsoever.
Well, I'd like to intervene right here, and then I want to go to Doug and see if he give him an opportunity to participate. And then I don't think we've gone to Mark either. But you know, with NASCA, for anyone on this panel or anyone who is listening, we are 501c3, and we don't care if you're a Christian, Muslim, agnostic. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Our common thread is the survivor. You know, that's in the child abuse awareness. That's what we care about. We've got a transsexual whom I love. He comes on the show sometimes. We don't care. It's not our job to judge. However, we do have folks that are of faith. You know, I'm a woman of faith. Barbara Joy is a woman of faith. Pamela's a woman of faith. Victoria, I'm not quite sure, and it doesn't matter to me. You're part of our family no matter what. But you know, I don't want anyone to think that any of us, you know, that's a caveat to participate and join our group. It is not. However, we do have people of faith. I get it, Barbara Joy. You know, your book, you're a woman of faith. So, you know, certainly your book's going to, you know, pivot on, you know, your beliefs and faith. And that's understandable. Can it still help other people? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I get it. And I think you're both right. I think it is for Christians, and I think it is for people who, you know, that are not Christians.
Right.
So, you know, all the contribution
counts. Well, I wrote
it
from my heart, and it's my story.
Right.
It's my entire life story in my memoir.
Right.
So I can't change what happened. I can't change what I've been through, except that I can recover, and I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Victoria. I don't think you ever fully recover from something
right.
like that. You do
work in progress.
Move forward, like Tammy said. One step forward, two back, three back, one, five forward. And it's that way every day. I mean, sometimes I have a huge fight with my husband, and I hate it. And sometimes he doesn't get me. And, you know, he thinks completely differently than I do. My brain is wired differently. I think abuse survivors' brains are different. They're wired completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
That's the body keeps the score. That book, The Body
right.
Keeps the Score. Absolutely.
That's
fabulous.
want to go to Doug and give him an opportunity to participate. Doug, yeah, the question is, and I, like I said, I don't know where exactly where you are other than you've shared with us, and thank you for doing so, that it's hard and it's struggling. You know, when you do get on a good recovery path, and I agree with the folks who have said, it never ends, but we can get better. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our thread. I've come to accept it, and if I hadn't, and I don't wish it on anybody, and I wish that hadn't happened to me, but it did. But I wouldn't be the person that I am today had it not happened to me. I would not know any of you. I would not be on this call. So I've embraced what happened. I can't change it, so I've embraced it, and, you know, the best I can do is continue to heal and try to help other people heal. But, Doug, what is your idea of recovery, if you don't mind me asking, sir? Are you with us, Doug?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You don't have to share either. I don't know if you got. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
He's
Doug,
listening.
Okay. Hold on. My son keeps trying to call in. So if you want to share, Doug, I want to give you the opportunity. Mark, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, of course, you know, everybody knows that I'm a normie, but I like to think that I was part of a help in Pam's recovery and what she went through, because I believe I supported her. And when she was going, she wanted to go to school. She started school again in her late 40s, and in her 50s, she went and got her master's, and I said, go for it. You know, if this is going to help you, if this is what you want to do, then I don't have a problem with it. You know, me and you are together. You know, we're married 38 years. Do it. And I think that me being there for her, I think that's what she was mentioning earlier about now she had a stable home life. You know, I'd like to think that I was part of that stableness that gave her that chance to do what she really wanted to do. And now I'm proud of her. She's got her master's, and she's on the NASCA network now as a volunteer, and she's really been busy with it and trying to, you know, get people on the show to share their stories, like you guys are talking about tonight, sharing your stories on your recovery journeys, your healing journeys, and I'm just, you know, that's my part of the recovery.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Is there anybody who hasn't shared on this or would like to make an additional comment? And then I want to go to Barbara Joy. Anybody? The all mics are open.
This is Victoria. I would just like to chime in that a person of faith doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a Christian. I'm a person of faith. I have a lot of hope. I have a lot of faith. I have spirituality. And I just don't want to be discluded. Thank you.
You're included,
you
believe
be.
Me. You're among friends.
You should be. Like I said, you know, here at NASCA, we don't care. I mean, we care. We care for you, and we care about what's important to you, but it's not going to, you know, you're still included, Victoria. And, you know, some of my religious beliefs pivot on Judaism. You know, I'm kind of somewhere in between. I'm literally somewhere in between. I firmly believe that, you know, all of them have something right. None of them have everything right. You know, I've kind of got my own little way of thinking, and we have a right to, because in America we have freedom of religion still. So there you go.
Yeah, this is I think our faith and hope is the language of love, and that's just not condemning anybody, you know, being very supportive, being open, being honest, you know, and not trying to down anybody or their beliefs. you know.
That's right. Okay. Well, I tell you, it's been a colorful show. It's been a lively show, and we've had some really good discussions. But we only have 5 minutes left, so I wanted to go back to Barbara Joyce so she could give us some final thoughts or comments on what she's heard. Barbara Joyce, the mic is yours.
I just want to thank everybody for coming on tonight to support me and to support Mark and Tammy as co-hosts and hosts, because you never know if you're going to have one person call, and that's okay, because that one person is supposed to be the one that you're, you know, having a conversation with. And it's been very educational for me to hear your stories, to understand your past, to understand the things that you've been through, the horrible, hurtful things that all of us have gone through and experienced. And it's not easy. I'm thinking of Kermit the Frog. It's not easy being green. All of a sudden that came to me. It's not easy being green. It's not easy being
right.
An abuse survivor. But it's not an easy road, and it never has been. I blocked it all out for so long that I didn't even think I had a story. How's that? So I wouldn't change. I wouldn't, like Tammy said, I would not want to go back and go through any of it at all, but I wouldn't change it because of the hope that I am now giving to others. I am so honored to be on the show. I'm honored to be a part of the Miss Texas show. Survivors Against Violence Everywhere, which is a support group, and I'm ambassador of Massachusetts on her show, and I just listened to it this week with my husband in our show. Now, he usually avoids because he's like, oh, you say the same thing on every show, same old, and I don't, because every interview that I've been on, and I've been on hundreds of interviews, many podcasts and Skypes and shows, including the Dr. Oz show that I was on in 2017. And he watched my whole show on our large TV screen, and it was like an out-of-body experience for me to see me speak on the show and have such authority in everything that I've gone through. Eileen Dong is from China, and she interviewed me. And if you get a chance to go on my Facebook page or call me and ask for the link for the Miss Texas show, it was one of my unbelievable shows that my husband was willing to watch, and that was a miracle, because normally he avoids.
Right.
You know, he's quiet, and that's okay because that's his personality. But for him to sit there and watch it, it was like I was up here and the show was there, and I'm speaking and thinking, is that really me? Am I really saying those things? Eileen asked me phenomenal questions, and I came back with the answers. So it was wonderful. So if you haven't seen that, it's the Miss Texas
okay.
show. I Have Guardian Angels is the title of it. So email
nice.
Me at Bobby Joy Hansen, BobbieJoyH. Hansen at juno.com, and I'll send it to you.
Cool beans. Well, I just got the 90-second mark, so I'm going to wrap it up. I would like to tell folks, a lot of people don't realize that, and I love when people call in and be a part of the panel. We do have a lot of people stream in. Us hosts, we can go, we can't do it. We don't know who's listening. We don't know whose life we might be touching. You know, I've seen 50 people listening. When I go back and look at the stats the next day, I've seen 2,000 people. I've seen 300.
Really?
So even though we just have, yeah, just because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people here, we could be really, one night I looked at it, it was 2,000. So we
really?
Don't know who we're touching. Oh, absolutely. So
that's wonderful.
Keep that in mind. Anyone that we're reaching, you know, that may be listening to the show that's not quite ready to call in, this show is for you. It's for me. It's for everybody on this panel. It's for our professional guests like Barbara Joyce. And I've got 22 seconds, so I am going to wrap it up. Thank you, Pamela, Mark, Barbara Joy, Victoria, Doug. Bless you all. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to close the show with saying God bless the children of the world and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Talk Radio.